Mr. Harper, if someone was just so inspired to grow a giant pumpkin and enter this contest next year, how much land plot size should I...
You know, one of the gentlemen that's here grew a very nice pumpkin on 150 square feet.
Okay, that's not too bad.
So, you know, 10 by 15, so about the size of, you know, maybe a normal garden that you would grow a whole garden in. That, you know, so you need to devote some space to it and not have, you know, because it'll take over anything else you have there. So if you've got, you know, you want to still grow a regular garden, you probably need to have your own space for the pumpkin. But it's not, you know, it doesn't need a half an acre. That's right. That's not that big a piece. So.
But think about getting it out, too. Don't put it in a backyard where there's a side gate that's only 2 feet wide, because you're going
to
need...
You need to, most of these pumpkins came in here on pallets. So they're, you know, you need to have to be able to get a pallet underneath it. And get a pallet out of the spot and load it onto a trailer or the bed of a pickup or something. You know, these things are up to 500 pounds. So that's, you know, that's two or three people lifting it. So, yeah, you need to have some access. That's right.
And for the inquiring mind, the North American pumpkin record is 2,230.5 pounds by a Ron Wallace out of Green, Rhode Island.
Right. Back east. Most all of these big pumpkins are, you know, from back east or in cooler climates where they can grow, you know, all summer long. Where we normally have a very long growing season, for pumpkins we have a pretty short one.
And the world record is out of, now, that 2,200 pound in Rhode Island, that sounds like it's like took up half the state. But the total record, world record, comes out of Switzerland at just 3.2 pounds heavier. That's close. Who knew? Giant pumpkins. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a garden question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You could also text questions to 411-923. And then email, just like Ted. Are you looking at the number? You're on a landline, correct? Mr. Harper?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to... Yes, I am on a landline.
All right. Do you get emails on your phone?
Yes, I do.
I just forwarded you one from Ted, who's got a question on a Bradford pear problem. He sent some pictures of some leaves that look... something's getting them. It looks more like disease than insects. So if you've got a pic, if your picture helps... Explain your problem, email them in to info.
Yeah, send them over to us, and we will get back to you as quickly as possible. I did get the email, so we'll take care of that after we're off the air.
And what, wrapping up this segment real quick, let's talk summer lawn transitions. I passed by a golf course, and there's nothing like the smell of fresh-cut grass that's just been watered afterwards, and just that aroma is brings me back to growing up at 4th of July is at Mama Can Pop Rosie's on the lawn.
You know, fresh cut hay, fresh cut lawns, they sure do smell good. I get the pleasure of driving down the 101 every day, and this time of year and here in a little bit when they start mowing the hay out there, when Mr. Rogers' crew gets out there, boy, in the evenings or the mornings when it's still a little cool out, it sure smells good. But the transition of lawns is going on. If you want to see it firsthand, I'm not immune. My front yard looks pretty brown, and that's really what we want to happen. We want to kill this cool season grass, the rye grasses, off and not have them hang on until, you know, mid-July like they might if you don't force them out. What I do is pretty simple. I just mow a little shorter every week until about now. I'm mowing down maybe even a little shorter than I would normally even mow my summer lawn, my hybrid Bermuda grass, and I don't turn the water off, but I don't increase the water. So just the kind of the normal watering I was watering this last winter for my winter rye is not enough to keep that rye grass alive and green. So we just kind of burn it up, and as soon as it's pretty brown, I'll go in and run a thatcher over it real lightly and thatch it and get rid of some of that dry, strawy-looking thatch. Turn the water up a notch, get some Turf Royale fertilizer on it, and away we go.
And that was, you hit my question on the fertilizer. What is the point you know it's okay to fertilize? Because you don't want to fertilize if you've got rye. You don't want to give it a shot to come back. But
I wait till there's not a breath of green out there.
So that fertilizer will still absorb when they're in that dormant?
So it looks pretty darn brown. And it, you know, once you learn what to look for, the Bermuda grass leaves and the ryegrass leaves look a lot different, and they are a slightly different color. So you can tell at some point which of that green out there is rye and which of it is Bermuda as well.
We'll be back. It's Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348 to join the conversation.